You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red.
Big Red. Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red.
Big Red. Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're basically unemployed. Big Red. Big Red. Big Red.
Welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
I'm Ryan.
Wow.
Wow. Very measured of you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I love you.
What?
So thanks, guys. I love you.
We love you as well. But there's a lot of love on this
Don't
podcast.
Don't speak for Joe. Don't speak for Joe. Make Joe say
love
it himself.
Everywhere. I love everybody. No, that's not true. No, I love you guys more than I love most people.
Well, that's a low bar, I feel, but thank you.
It is. I talk to you guys more
than
anybody.
Can you rank the people in your life you love the most? Can you rank the top 10 people you love?
Probably.
Let's
It'll all be family for the most part. I think I get 10 family. I got my kids first.
Okay, let's do it. 10, let's go for it.
I didn't agree to this. I'm just going to observe.
Top 10 people. 5, 6, 7.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'm just observing. I'm not playing.
Yeah, I just did it in my head. It's fine. So,
first is Irina. Second is
your dog,
Mishka. This isn't right. First is Irina and my mom. They're tied for second and third. Then Mishka. Then Madam. That's 5. Then my brother Jason, that's 6. Then Elon Musk.
Scott Frost.
Okay, then Scott Frost. No, I'm not a big fan of Tom Osborne.
Whoa.
Yo, he's been fucking up the legalization of weed and fucking gambling. And dude, he should have never made fucking Solich the anyways, where was I? 7. So then
would you have done instead of Solich? I mean, it's hard to remember way back then, but there was
Urban Meyer.
That wasn't even a possibility.
That would have been,
I don't know. I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have put some fucking thought into it. I wouldn't have given it to Solich.
Well, Osborne's the one who put the thought into that.
You know,
that was his plan. Who was the AD at that time?
But he didn't put any thought into it. He used it as a bribery technique to keep Solich from running off somewhere else. because he was a great running back coach?
To answer your question, Joe, the AD was Bill Byrne.
Okay. Because, I mean,
to be confused with the politician Byrne, that was racist.
Right. I mean, at that point, Osborne was running the athletic department, I would guess, pretty much. So, you know, after three titles, that's what you get. You name your successor.
Yeah.
Right. And look where it got us.
Yeah. A Heisman Trophy and a trip to a national championship game.
We probably didn't necessarily deserve in either case.
Right. And then 20 years of a slow trip into the fucking abyss.
I think Sue was much more deserving, as was Frazier, for the Heisman than Crouch, perhaps.
I agree.
And I would have loved it I would have preferred if either of those guys won the Heisman to him, just in terms of favorite players. Sue, especially.
I don't get me wrong. Crouch was a good player, and I was glad that he won, but
nobody better at fake pitching.
I was really surprised that it wasn't Ken Dorsey or Joey Harrington that year.
Harrington, and also, yes, it worked right
because it was Tommy Frazier that year. That's who got it.
What?
Eric Crouch got Tommy Frazier's Heisman.
Yeah.
A couple of years later. That might have been it.
Also, like, he was a different quarterback than Joey Harrington and Ken Dorsey, and there was something about that that appealed. But also, the other part of it is he obviously racked up a lot of rushing yards, but he also like just sort of stockpiled some extra passing yards and just total yardage, like having to come back late in that Colorado game. Like, we kept getting the ball because Colorado kept scoring quickly. So Crouch got to rack up some stats that made things look a little better.
He had the moment, you know, like if you're a quarterback winning the Heisman, it's rare to have a Heisman moment the way Crouch did. Especially these days, you know, it's like, the guy's throwing, what's it going to be, a deep pass? Like, what's the highlight for the Oklahoma quarterback? Throwing to the best receiver in the country? Great, But for Crouch, it was a, 90-yard run against Missouri, and then he had that Oklahoma play. So.
Well, the 98-yard run against Missouri wasn't the same season.
Oh, it wasn't. That was a different season.
Yeah.
I thought that was his Heisman season.
No.
I didn't know that. Oh, and if Sue is a little bit slower, half second slower, Colt McCoy throws that ball late, clocks out, runs out. We win that game against Texas, and then he wins the Heisman. Or was that a different year?
No, that was the year.
Same year.
Okay.
We talked about this last night.
What's that?
Last night?
Some guy was telling me last night that Chase Young was better than Sue. And I was like, Sue put up better numbers as a defensive tackle, you fucking idiot.
I mean, you can't compare those two guys. They're so different. Chase Young.
Yeah, you can. You can compare them all. You can.
Well,
but he's not Ndamukong Sue.
No, he's different. It's hard.
Sue could have played defensive end. I mean, Sue could have played defensive end.
Sue could be a defensive end in a three-man line easily.
Yeah.
And would have more sacks and stuff.
Even a four-man line. Sue is faster than a lot of defensive ends in a three-man.
Sure.
Right. I mean, that wouldn't be his anywhere close to his ideal position. But
that's not what I'm saying. That he could play it.
He could be a pass.
It'd be much harder to get Chase Young.
Reggie White could play across the line with some efficacy all the way.
Not anymore. He couldn't.
No. True. But that's what they're saying maybe about Chase Young, who's he's a big dude. But there's no reason to play him inside because he's not quite as broad as Sue, and he's probably a little quicker around the outside. I mean, Sue is going to the Hall of Fame, and I think Levante
Davis is basically a broad compared to Sue.
By the way, I can't tell if it's my internet or you guys because we are lagging, dudes. We don't have speed around the edge on this podcast today.
Your internet?
I don't know. I got fiber. I don't know what's going on, but I'm only getting half of you guys.
I can tell you got fiber in your internet because it's taking a shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
What was I gonna? Oh yeah,
that was a solid joke, Joe. You didn't even crack a smile.
I did.
I'm glad it was solid. Don't want that runny shit.
It's so cold outside, it all becomes solid, I would guess.
Yeah. That 2001 season.
Hey, does
though,
Jack Mitchell irritate you guys on Twitter?
No. I like Jack.
Okay.
He's been a great Copcast guest. And it, why? What about it?
I don't know. Sometimes he feels a little bit whiny on Twitter.
Oh, look who's talking.
Oh, I don't
whine on Twitter because I don't really get on Twitter.
Well, not
the
on
only
your
thing
own.
I do on,
not on your own personal Twitter. You
right.
think you're
You've
on your personal
tweeting
Twitter
on the
and
Comcast
on ours.
Account, thinking it was yours.
Yeah, the Doge coin though, man. Elon Musk needs to just fucking fix it.
What? You just got, where was that from, Ryan? That was. I mean, we've had non sequiturs, but you just. Drop that in.
Well, because that was one of the things he tweeted from the Comcast account.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I realized what I did, so I just left it.
Did we get a follow?
There was one about TikTok videos recently too.
Yeah, I hate that they call those dances because they're not dances.
Pick your battles, man.
No, you don't. You battle everything. I don't pick my battles.
That's, you know, that's when you're so right, true. You're right.
That is so true. So we made new hires, Pat.
Yeah. That's the
not
transition.
The Copcast. Not the Copcast. Yeah. We have no hires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally paid you guys.
Yeah, thank you. That was that was a pleasant surprise. I forgot that was a thing.
And, you know, this might be a good time to remind folks that you can support us. $1 a month is nothing to you. And to us, also probably close to nothing, but still better than nothing.
Yeah, patreon.com/BigRedCopCast.
If everybody gave us $1.
In the world?
No, that listens to our podcast. We could quit our jobs.
And believe me, I would.
It'd be much easier for Joe to quit his job.
I don't have a job.
Yeah, it would, actually, in many ways, it would be harder for Joe to quit his job.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. If you don't have a job to quit.
Well, I'll also tell you, when you smoke as much weed as I, you can have a job with that much, but getting a job is much harder.
Yeah. I quit smoking weed, got a job. That's not true. I was still smoking when I got my job. Anyways, we hired a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, at least two anyway.
We hired the guy that Trump got in trouble in a bus with.
Just regular Bill Bush, not Billy Bush.
Not Billy Bush.
Oh, not Billy Bush.
Different guy.
He's not from the Bush presidential family.
He's
from probably the Bush beer family, because that's how it's spelled.
Do you think he ever tells?
Or the Bush's baked beans?
Different. No, they're spelled like the president.
Do you ever think that he tells Scott Frost just to get up on him like a bitch?
Probably not.
Also, that wasn't
the part. I got the reference, though.
That wasn't the part that Billy Bush said. He just laughed along with that.
Right. And I do bet Bill Bush laughs along with
Billy Bush
Frost
says. Anything. He just laughed.
Yeah. He was like he was like Trump's Ed McMahon.
Hey-o!
So we hired a former Pelini coach as an analyst, and we also,
as long as it wasn't a Pelini.
I don't mind that. I don't care. I like the Marcus Castro Walker hire, though, the guy who was the director of player personnel at UCF and then most recently at Arizona State, when it seemed like, so his role is to be a conduit between the staff and the players, where it seems like there has been a disconnect in the last couple of years. And like Herm Edwards,
I think there's an important question that we don't know about him.
What's that?
How does he feel about homosexuals?
That's the Ron Brown position. Is that what he's
Yeah, taking? he took over the Ron Brown part.
Got it. I bet
so
you
how
won't ever find out
how
from
about
him.
Not, how he feels about homosexuals.
I my guess is he's not going to say anything about it one way or the other.
You don't think he's going to go to any Omaha City Council meetings?
Well, then I don't know if I can trust him.
Probably not. Probably. That may have even been a stipulation. Speaking of stipulations,
that was a rule when Ron Brown was there. Don't go there and claim, like he claimed one Memorial Stadium as his address when he went to the Omaha City Council meeting. Yep. Why do you sound like Woody Woodpecker?
It is kind of funny though, like to put that down as your address. What a fucking Ron Brown's a toolbox, dude.
I bet if a letter went there to that address, it would get to him.
I'm sure it would.
And of course it would.
Yeah. So you believe this is a good hire?
Well, yeah, because like it seemed like the staff and the players connected really well when
Arizona State.
Frost and staff were at UCF.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Arizona State with Herm Edwards, who seemed like he just wanted to cash checks, and they've actually been pretty good.
Better than most people thought they would be.
Yeah, and
so
I don't want
the guy. Does he like plan pizza parties? What does he do?
I couldn't name specifics, and I'm probably putting too much on this guy. But when the job definition is being the connection between players and staff, and like we've had 2 years of it just seeming like there is no connection between those two parties, I feel like there's nowhere to go but up right now.
Yeah. And who knows what the team's impression of Ron Brown in that spot was. You know, I would guess that position is almost like, all right, you can go into this office and you can kind of vent a little if you're a player, and it doesn't have the same impact it would to like a coach or whatever. If you just want to see, I don't know exactly, but
yeah.
I get the feeling that Ron Brown would be the kind of guy who's just like, hey,
don't say that word. Don't say that word if you're going to vent. That's what I'm thinking Ron Brown is like.
Yes. Or he's also going to be like, look, just do what Coach Frost says. Get out of my office.
Yeah.
So, and maybe this guy is,
that's not what he does. Ron Brown says, okay, this week for our player party time, we're all going to get together and we're going to pray.
Yeah. Well,
to Jesus Christ, not to anybody else, only Jesus Christ.
Yes. That may have been a little bit, strict.
And then there's a Muslim on the team. They beat him with a soap and a sock until they convert.
To be fair, he got along with Amir Abdullah.
There's been a number, exactly.
Well, because Amir Abdullah was hard to beat with a sock because he was so shifty.
Well, and also probably like ripped.
I think they both agreed on a lot of the same strictness on things. I think he's probably more likely to connect with a super religious Muslim guy than just with a non-religious guy at all.
That's true.
I'm going to argue that it's much easier to beat Ronald Tom with a sock filled with soap than it was Amir Abdullah.
Well, because Amir Abdullah... Yeah, exactly. Amir Abdullah didn't have 9,000 knee surgeries.
Right. Nope. Jesus doesn't care about Ronald Tompkins' knees as much as Allah cared about Amir Abdullah's knees.
I don't know enough about religion to dispute you, actually. So I'll just let that ride.
I know everything about religion.
I know you think so. Is that guy younger than Ron Brown?
Way younger.
Right. And I think that is a very important thing. If you're going to have a conduit between the coaching staff and the players, don't make the guy older than most of the coaching staff. Like if you want a conduit between the coaching staff and the fans who won't let people yell in the stadium, maybe Ron Brown is the guy for that.
Yeah.
But you need younger.
You're absolutely right. Like I've traveled with enough college teams
How
to know that you have
Ron
to have
Brown?
That. I'm looking at it. Well, first I'm looking
at it. I bet he's about 70.
I bet he's older than 70. I got it. I'm on it.
Really?
Well, I'm looking
Ron
up how
Brown.
Old.
Brownstein is 62. 59?
That's it?
Wow. Was he like 12 years old when he coached for Cosburn?
Jeez.
He seems older. And that's bad. If you seem older in that position, that's also bad.
Number, the first question that comes up is, where did Ron Brown die?
Well, maybe there's probably more than one Ron Brown.
I'm going to guess.
Dubrovnik, Croatia.
Oh, okay. That's probably not the Ron Brown you're looking for.
I think Marcus Castro Walker is only like in his 30s.
That's perfect.
Would make way more sense.
Yeah. So maybe that'll help with everything. And you're right. I think there has been, clearly, was it Brendan Jamis? Hymus, who made comments. He said, you know, we didn't turn the corner because there were still players who didn't buy in. I think he said something to that effect. So we got to fix it.
Yeah, but that's not Ron Brown's. Ron Brown, I mean, I don't know.
Well, who knows? Who knows whose job it is, but somebody's got to fix it.
I'll tell you whose job it is.
Frost's
job. Yeah. Yeah. That's whose job it is.
True.
But $35 million over 7 years, it's your job.
You do also have to have someone whose role is to connect. I mean, there are so many things to manage with a head coach, but his job though is to find the person who can help make that connection between the staff and the players. And the Ron Brown was, in my opinion, just such an uninspired hire from the outset. It just was
not just uninspired. He's the opposite. He's an expired hire.
Well, especially, I mean, you've already come in with your whole coaching staff. There's, you know, you need to bring in some outside new fresh blood in any program. And you're right. I think that, like, this is where the loyalty thing is, like, let's get some wins and be loyal to whoever got us those.
Yeah. By the way, 59-60 has got to be accurate for Ron Brown because he graduated college.
It is. It's the exact 82. Age. He was born in March of 61.
Okay.
Ron Brown was March 31st, 1961.
Hey, that's my birthday.
So he was 21 when he graduated from Columbia in 1982.
Okay.
He's an Ivy League guy.
How about it?
I knew he was an Ivy League guy.
That's really weird.
What's that?
That's weird that he's an Ivy League guy.
Well, and what's funny is I always picture in my head that he went to Brown, which, you know, feels a little too on the nose.
Brown.
A little racist, maybe?
Well, no, just that it's an Ivy League school and his last name is Brown.
And Brown and Columbia are kind of similar. Brown, Columbia, they're the second tier Ivies. You got your Harvard, also, Yale, and Princeton.
They're also in like two of the three biggest cities in the Ivy League too, because you've got Penn and Philly, Columbia and New York, and Providence Brown's has Brown.
Providence, yes. Harvard is in a pretty big city.
Oh yeah, I guess it's whether or not you call it Boston.
Right. It is. Yeah, it's close.
Anyway, we didn't need Ivy League.
No, we didn't
talk, did we?
But if we are talking about, you know, we still have these two scholarships, and I'm in the mood to throw quarterback names out there. So the quarterback from Oregon, the starter from Oregon last year, who has 3 years of eligibility left, is it Tyler Shiloh?
Looking that up.
I believe his name is something close to that.
Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch a whole lot of college football outside of Nebraska this year in a way that
I didn't either. I think we talked about this during the season, where if Nebraska loses a game early on a Saturday morning, I am not watching any more college football that day.
I used to, but it's just like, I don't know,
even
man.
When this was 1 year, the first year of that disappointment, but now I get to, you know, I'm just so over it. And we've lost in the last 2 years. The way we lose these games is not the kind of way where you just shake it off.
Yeah. By the way, Tyler Shuck,
pressing
his name.
Say again?
Tyler Shuck.
Shuck.
S-H-O-U-G-H.
Oh, okay. So Shuck. and I don't know what it is.
I know.
But it's just pronounced that way.
So it's not Shuck, it's Shalf.
That's, well, there's no F either.
Like,
D-H is F.
How about
Chow?
I would have guessed show.
Nash Schmacker.
Well, you were saying, Joe, he's in the market.
Yeah. And he might be, you know, apparently there's two people who follow him on Twitter, and Adrian Martinez is one of them. And maybe the offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach.
There's more than one person that follows him. There's
Ryan Held follows him, actually. That's who. I think Held follows him. So, I mean, you bring a guy like that in, that might be a better solution. It's kind of an upgrade from McCaffrey, if you look at it that way.
He's a grad transfer?
Yeah. Well, he probably...
He's also a pocket passer, though.
But in that offense... It's a similar offense, and he gets the ball to the weapons more. Again, you may not be looking at him necessarily as the solid starter. You've got Adrian Martinez still, but this may be a better option behind him than, for example, Terry Wilson, who you have to bring in for 1 year, and that's it. I'm guessing he's a grad transfer because...
Logan Smothers throws better than 2 a.m., and he runs faster than McCaffrey.
Okay, well, do we know this?
He ran like a 10.4 100 or something like that, or a 10.6 100.
He is pretty fast, again, but you still need another scholarship quarterback, I think.
Yeah,
the
only problem with a 3-year guy is you do probably still end up with the same amount of quarterbacks because because you're gonna run another quarterback off at that point, a young one especially. I think the ideal situation, if you can find it, is a 1-year guy who...
Well, Terry Wilson might be the right guy. You know?
Yeah.
And some of this also depends on what they think of Smothers.
Exactly. Because if you think a lot of him, you don't want to go scaring him off. But also, sure, if you can get a guy of that quality... You know, you don't sneeze at it, but also he's going to want to come in and play. If he's got 3 years of eligibility,
he's not going to want to just come in as a backup. That's true.
Yeah.
He had a starting job at Oregon, more or less. He may have been getting replaced in the bowl game, as it turned out. And they signed a big time quarterback, I guess. But you raise a good point, guys, that would run Smothers out perhaps, but that'll maybe tell us, and what they do in this direction will tell us what they think about Smothers.
Well, I think he right now, and I know we haven't seen him on the field, but he's probably one of the last people we want to run off because of the simple fact that our other scholarship quarterback is a guy who's very raw at the position, Heinrich Harburg, who, you know, may have a future at a different position altogether, depending on how things shake out.
Sure. We could become TEU soon. We could become tight end university like Iowa has been if we do the right thing, because there are so many good tight ends in our region, which is why Iowa always does well with them. But we've got a very good class of tight ends, and there are more recruits out there locally that are good. And a guy like Harburg could end up being an NFL tight end.
Well, the other thing that I've heard with Harburg, and, you know, again, this is all speculation, and, you know, they've recruited him as a quarterback, but I've heard so many coaches at varying levels say if he's got the toughness, which they don't know necessarily whether or not he does, but he's a smart kid and he's very fast and he's got the frame, he could be that unicorn edge rusher that we haven't been able to recruit.
I mean,
he's got sprinter speed for a guy his size.
Well, like, I mean, same with Fadone, but Fadone, I think, is going to play tight end.
Fadone, it just has such good ball skills. You don't take him away from offense.
No. And he's too tall to be like, who's the Luke Kuechly was a linebacker for Carolina. That guy was a very aware in coverage guy. He got a lot of interceptions and stuff, but I feel like he was shorter. You can't put a guy that as big as Fadone at a linebacker position.
I mean, yeah, I don't think he's any taller than Harburg.
But that's defensive end. I was saying with the ball skills, a defensive end is going to be more rushing the quarterback. You'd want a guy in linebacker. Like Levante David, I just going back to him, he apparently had the highest pro football grade in like 5 years for a linebacker in coverage this season.
And he's,
I'm just going to keep traditionally graded high. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Yes. He is.
He is one of the most underrated NFL players ever. Levante.
He is. I really think he is.
Naturally I like all the former Huskers and I'm happy for, Khalil Davis and Ndamukong Suh, but it feels Levante David like really earned that recognition.
Well, and he was one of the longest running Buccaneers. Like Sue's been there a couple of years, but he came in as he does with all these teams as kind of a, he's a mercenary coming for a season or two onto a good team. But Levante David is, yeah, he was there all those years in Tampa when they just were nothing, when they sucked.
Yeah.
But he was still stellar.
Yeah, the fucking years.
He was still great during those years. It's like Leroy Selman. For you old folks out there who remember the Selman brothers.
No, that's the Allman brothers.
Oh, around the same era, they were really dominant.
I would have guessed you, of all people, would be an Allman Brothers fan.
Me, I am. I've been to like seven Allman Brothers shows. I was at the Allman Brothers show in Albany.
I've been to one.
Warren Haynes. Well, so you know Warren Haynes. You know who Warren Haynes is? I think Government Mule, great guitar player, plays with the Allman Brothers now. And Dickie Betts, who was an original member, got into this guitar battle in Albany, and Warren Haynes just blew him away, just like. You know, it was no match. They were going back and forth and it's like, oh shit, this is old, this is new. And after that night after the show, I think Dickie Betts ended up getting involved in a domestic abuse situation and got kicked out of the band.
Well, that's a good reason to kick him out of the band.
Yeah, but I think he was probably drunk and pissed because he got his ass kicked on stage. And now it's with the nephews. Well, now the Allman Brothers are dead and it's all over, but that's a good band, man. So now you want to hear one song for 40 minutes.
What'd you say, Tweety?
So is it the Allman Nephews now?
It's actually a Trucks. This is the guy's name, Derek Trucks.
Yeah. What a tangent. Yeah. Yes. You, Tweety, take us somewhere.
Wow.
You don't have anything, I do.
I don't have anything.
Speaking of transfers. You talked about the quarterback transfer from Oregon, Joe, and last week we talked about Bookie transferring.
Oh yes,
all the Riley era people, Jameer Calvin in the portal as well. I think one of you guys said earlier that Keyshawn not in the portal, probably just done with football.
I think he's probably not playing anymore. Pat O'Brien transferring twice.
Yeah,
I'm convinced. That generation of football players, like, they're never going to really amount. Like, it's like boxing. The reason that the Barry Sanders of the world were good, the reason the Barry Sanders of the world are good, and the Bo Jacksons and the, you know, it's the Deion Sanders. You know, it's because they needed it. It's all they had. It was their one shot.
You're right. And Peyton and Eli Manning.
For many of them.
They were terrible.
But that's different because they're like prep school kids, though. They're prep school kids.
They are the quarterback is a position of – is now become a position of privilege because of the quarterback camps that these kids go to and all that stuff.
Pat loves sticking up for privilege.
God. There was a Munoz kid.
Basically a fucking Nazi.
Jesus Christ. There was a Munoz kid who went to USC who was Anthony Munoz's son. And, well, and then there was that there was a Raiders player who's who had a son playing for the Chiefs offensive line in the Super Bowl.
I mean, there's definitely legacy players, the Clay Matthews, the Matthews family.
But I also think that it's
not as frequent.
Archie Manning probably made far less money than Deion Sanders did.
Absolutely.
Played one fewer sport. That's why.
No, but Deion was, for a number of reasons. Deion also had
Deion
some,
was the first person to make those huge checks. Deion, prime time. I mean,
yeah,
he's the reason players get paid what they get paid today.
And for certain players who make a position get paid.
No, he was the first, Pat. Google it. Neon Deion was the first.
Lawrence Taylor was a little before him, I think.
But Neon Deion, when he got that big, I think it was when he went to the Cowboys.
It was huge. Well, he also got big endorsement money too.
Are you talking about novelty checks, Ryan?
I remember this when I was a kid. He was the one that really changed the game. When he got that contract, it was the biggest contract in the history of football.
Because
$10 million a year or some crazy shit like that.
I think it was a one year signing with Dallas to be like a free agent. You know, he won a Super Bowl with the 49ers. I think he came to Dallas to get one too.
I think it was the Niner one that was only a 1 year contract.
Was that the other way? So maybe he went the other way that way.
One with the Cowboys, I'm pretty sure that was the big one.
Yeah, no, it was Jerry Jones.
Longer contract.
Jerry Jones loves splashing out big money. There's no doubt that.
Yeah.
By the way, Stefan Wyszynski was the guy I was thinking of. Who had a Raiders relative on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Steve
Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got real creative with Stefan. really, really pushing out the boat with the name.
It'd be funny if they called Steve Curry. Steve Curry of the Golden State Warriors. different feel.
Apparently, a lot of those former Charlotte Hornets, like from the first iteration of the Hornets, just stuck around that area
Charlotte
for a long time afterward. Yeah. Including the Curry.
You're talking about like the mailman and.
Well, the mailman didn't play for the Hornets. He played for the.
I'm sorry. Alonzo Mourning and.
Grandmama.
Hornets. Yes, Larry Johnson.
Yeah, but who was the other one? Alonzo Mourning and who was the other guy?
Muggsy Bogues.
No, the big one.
Larry Johnson.
I mean, they're
Grandmama.
All big.
Grandmama.
Yeah, was it Johnson? Say it again.
Larry Johnson.
Grandmama.
Yeah, Larry Johnson. That's the one. Because when you played NBA Jam, it was Muggsy Bogues, Alonzo Mourning, and Larry Johnson.
Yes.
I'm glad they went back to those uniforms and that name for Charlotte.
I agree. That was a good move for them. And they're actually kind of, Jordan's finally winning. I don't know if he just lost interest enough to not do anything with the team, but they're getting better.
Yeah.
Although Jordan always overpays some white player.
Oh, yeah. It's
amazing how much Jordan always did. He got that guy Adam Morrison he signed, and they got the guy from the Celtics they signed this year, Hayward.
Gordon Hayward.
Yes. It's like Jordan's always looking for the next Larry Bird, never finding him.
Yeah. He's not a great executive.
He is not. And it makes sense because he's like, hey, how come this guy can't do what I did?
Yeah.
With everyone, every single player he ever scouts. He's like, this guy sucks.
Like, here, one-on-one, I'll beat you right now.
He's probably still beating.
Get out of my gym.
With the mental game.
He wants even his own players to know that he's better than them.
True. All right, Ryan, you seem pretty disinterested. Give us something that you want to talk about.
Yeah. There's nothing I want to talk about. Like, the portal sucks. It's ruining college football. We've covered that.
It is amazing how many people. But also, there should be two portals. Because there's, like, the portal majority, which is 90% of players who aren't going to play whatever team they
90% of the people in the portal aren't getting picked up.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like 90% of the people in the portal are not going anywhere.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
So it's even less than that.
I just saw the number yesterday. It was like 90%.
Who are even making an impact. You know, like it's like 5% of those guys. Otherwise, you're just kind of shuffling rosters.
Well, and that's the thing, and it fucking, and it's really fucking the high school kids.
Also, because they don't know where to go.
You're taking less players from high school because you can just go to the roster and you've already kind of got more better tape on them.
But I still think mostly you want to get a high school kid so you can develop them.
But you can get a sophomore.
But I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean there are fewer opportunities because those guys were already receiving scholarships before. They're just at different places.
Right, but...
Oh, Jesus Christ. That sounded painful.
It was a weird one. I don't know. I was listening. I was on Twitter the other day, and I was reading about some coaches were talking about how, like, because of the portal, a lot of kids in high school just aren't getting the same amount of looks that they would before because you can just go right into the portal.
Are those high school coaches saying that?
Yeah, high school coaches.
All right. Because I won't listen to anything a college coach says about this situation.
You know, it was like a guy who was basically saying that he has players that would have been getting looks 2 years ago or 3 years ago that just aren't getting looks
now.
Well,
this year's got to be doubly.
Yeah, awful. I'm sure that COVID has something to do with it.
Because you haven't been able to see any of these kids as much as you normally would. So the kids who are in the portal, you at least have some tape on them probably. And now your seniors can stay another season. So that clogs it up even more.
That's a good point.
So teams may actually want to save scholarships for next year when they can make more informed choices.
Well,
that's another reason, Pat, why you might be right about a one-year guy, because get that scholarship back.
Yeah, no, I think there can be some value in that. I think the other part, too, that's missing is that depending on where you are, there's an uneven application as far as, like, how football was played at the high school level this year. Like, yeah, even just in the state of Nebraska, like Omaha Public Schools didn't have any football season. I'm not sure on Lincoln Public Schools.
I think some of them did play, but not the full season.
But like there were some Omaha schools, but they weren't in the OPS system. So like Omaha West Side played. Yeah, Ralston, Omaha West Side, they played, but like Omaha Central, Omaha North, they didn't play. And you know, you got to figure there are going to be college recruits potentially from those schools, but they didn't necessarily get to put things on tape. And then like some of the smaller schools,
That's where you get hurt mostly, I would guess.
But even then, like so, some small, like a lot of the smaller schools all played. But you reached a certain point in the year two where there were teams who, like, I think there were teams that got COVID and teams that didn't, but also there were ones that, like, they were pretty quick to be like, we don't have enough bodies to play. And they were the teams that were like 0-7. They're like, sorry, guys. And so then that's even.
But a lot of those schools, in fairness, a lot of those schools don't have.
Oh, it's true. You know,
a lot of the players are playing both sides of the ball.
Oh, absolutely. Like I'll just throw my brother's team out, for example. They don't have a very deep bench at all, but like they didn't get to play a late season game. And honestly, it was fine. It was a team that was winless and it actually would have dragged down their playoff point total. But you know, that's one more game that kids have to play potentially to put game on tape, both for that school and for Auburn as well. And so you had teams that played in the same length of season three games more than other teams, and then you had some schools that didn't play at all, and that's just in the state of Nebraska. And
California didn't, no one played.
Yeah, so Connecticut, kids, no one played.
Thanks, Gavin.
So kids from those schools, the higher end prospects, I mean, California's players, I would guess Pac-10 may really benefit from this, Pac-12, whatever the fuck, because
dude, California players are soft. All the kids from California have gotten soft in the last.
Not all of them, but I see your point.
But I see what you're saying there, Joe. Where some
because these
in the region could benefit, because if you have a beat on a guy and he doesn't get to be seen by everybody,
exactly. There are big high schools in California that are putting players out. And that's the difference. Like the people who are going to get hurt the most are like in a state like Nebraska, where even, you know, you've got your Omaha schools will get recruited and Lincoln and maybe a couple of the big ones around there. But this year, you're not going to have any time to go find that diamond in the rough.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you, even diamond, like, even your,
who knows where
blue,
it is.
Even your blue chippers have to be a little bit, you have to be able to project things out. Like, you have to really have an eye for talent and for what's going to, for who's going to develop into
the portal's going to be worse next year.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, the next couple of years, this whole thing, and who knows, again, it is possible that what all this does is leads to a much better system. Because that's what's needed. That's what's necessary right now. And the opportunity might be there with all this crazy shit going on to just tear it down and build it back up in a better way. But there's too much
because
money.
Because that's what the NCAA is known.
Well, I was going to say there's too much money in keeping it the way it is right now, unfortunately. But this could be
it's
an opportunity.
It's not going to have a choice because all these other schools are going to, I mean, USC, well, no, as in, Alabama, once those big schools are like, fuck it, if USC is going to pay their players, I mean, you'd be stupid not to.
Then USC gonna, will be a whole thing. That's what's going to probably bring the whole thing. That's what'll bring the whole thing crashing down. Hopefully, is when these states.
Nebraska's going to start paying players too. They've already passed the legislation.
Nebraska apparently is as far ahead as any state in that.
Right.
Preparation.
Thank you, Ernie Chambers. All those Husker fans that hate Ernie Chambers, they better start kissing his ass.
Okay.
I got
first
to talk
he sues
to
God, and then he.
I got to talk to his replacement.
Back greatness.
I got to talk to his replacement the other day. I got to talk to his replacement the other day.
Ernie Chambers is being replaced.
Yeah, for the second time because they introduced term limits decade ago, just because of Ernie Chambers, basically.
Because of Ernie Chambers, because he's the greatest thing to happen in Nebraska since Kool-Aid.
It was.
Well, what does he think about legalization, Ryan?
He's probably for it, I would guess, because but solely because of the nonviolent offenders, if anything.
Yeah.
And the money.
He just doesn't seem to give a shit about money.
Go ahead.
Google, Ernie Chambers, speech on suits and why he doesn't wear a suit and how they're all fucking idiots. It's one of the best speeches in Congress. Is it Congress he gave it to?
State legislature.
The state legislature, the unit.
State legislature. Holy shit, dude. It's one of the best. This motherfucker sued God.
All right.
Ernie Chambers is a great.
You've got my attention.
There are a lot of people in the legislature who are diametrically opposed to a lot of what he stands for, but who respect,
I'm sure.
But who respect his ability. And
his work ethic.
I've met a lot of like old white Nebraskans who are like, no, he's needed in that body. But
who else is going to represent? I mean, because he represents a community in Omaha that would not be represented if it wasn't for him. So,
well, they'd have somebody there, but
yeah. Well, this Terrell,
but it wouldn't be the same.
No.
This Terrell McKinney who took his place. He got Ernie Chambers endorsement beforehand.
Oh, okay.
But we've delved into is going to be a firebrand topic.
I have no knowledge about it, but based on what Ryan's just told me, I'm sold. So whenever Ernie Ryan Chambers and I are on the same side, probably everyone else hates it.
Yeah.
It's also probably the sign.
Except for like Pat Gearhart.
Yeah.
What?
There's a few
Patrick Gearhart
like supporters
what about him?
who
he'll
supports
be on
Ryan
side.
And I.
All right. Well, is that the note that we're ending on?
Local Nebraska politics?
Yeah. I can't remember whether it's
what the hell is coming up? It's Valentine's Day. We got President's Day coming up, day off from school. That's when everyone will be listening to this probably.
Yeah, probably so.
Which president are you going to celebrate tomorrow?
Which one am I going to celebrate?
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
You know who I'm going to celebrate? I think,
who?
Oh my God. I can't remember his name.
Grover Cleveland.
No, a guy. He was assassinated, but it took him a long time to die.
Abraham Lincoln.
No,
Garfield.
Yes, I just read a book about him. I can't believe I couldn't remember his name. But he was pushed into being president, Ryan. He's the kind of president you want. He wasn't running at the convention, and they all the people running at the convention were such assholes.
Loved lasagna and hated Mondays.
Yes. No, but they were like
his political rival. Right, he shipped his political rivals in boxes to Abu Dhabi.
Everybody switched to this guy, and then she gets shot.
Hold up,
so that's what you get.
Before we leave, I want to.
I'm going to celebrate.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, you got to answer.
Who's the fat president that they Taft. Was it Taft that they wouldn't?
Yeah,
I'm going to celebrate.
You know, there's a place around here in California where Taft went, a hotel that he stayed in. That they made a chair for him that is like a couch, but it was just for him to sit in. And if you sit in it, you can get like four people in that chair.
He was apparently a very talented and skilled judicial mind.
Wasn't he? Wasn't he a Supreme Court justice after? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. How do you feel about homosexuals?
Back then, who knows?
How did he feel about gay people? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't have any rulings on that back then.
This was like 100 years ago.
It was a callback to Ron Brown, you idiots.
I know.
I didn't get it, Ryan.
But it felt like a forced callback, if we're being honest.
Well, there's no more improv anymore, so it doesn't matter.
I should wrap.
Huskers win.
Okay, I was waiting to see the final score. 62-61 with 1 second left was what I last saw.
But Tweety got a Huskers win thing.
Well, that's good.
I got a Huskers win thing popped up from Slack.
Great. I don't ever get on Slack.
But that seems like a good thing to leave on.
It is. win number five, baby. Woo! Now we have like 9,000 more games in 100 days. So
let's just win them all.
Yeah.
It'll be like that. I think it was Syracuse or UConn went on a run where if they didn't win the Big East tournament, they weren't getting in, and then they won the national title. This is it. 15 straight wins.
Holy shit. I think I got sprayed from that sneeze over here.
Yeah.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. Go to Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Give us a little bit, you know,
a dollar.
And also, apologies if things are weirdly delayed due to my shitty internet today, or whoever's it is.
Ryan.
Batty rides a bus.
Batty rides a bus.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.